Hi. Welcome to Sonic Serial.
I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark. And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track. And today, who are we doing?
We're doing Ayers Love 2.
And is that Love
T-O-O? Love number 2, alright?
Okay. Okay, this album was released on September 30th, 2009.
Where were you?
September 30th, 2009. I was living in LA. Skateboarding a lot.
In Venice Beach?
No, in downtown. So this is electronica and what's called and considered space rock.
Yeah.
And it was released on Virgin Records. And what would you say the theme or concept is?
I'd say it's love, imagination, and dreams.
And in this episode, we're doing songs 1 through 6, which are...
Do the Joy.
Love.
So Light Is Her Footfall.
Beat a Beat.
Missing the Light of Day.
And Tropical Disease.
Hey.
Tell us about... this is a segment, Missed Opportunity, where we wrap up loose ends from previous podcasts. And if you're just joining us for the first time, we'll get to air shortly, we promise.
Yeah, so I wanted to say, when we were talking about Idiotech by Radiohead, I forgot to mention there's a video store in Los Angeles called Videotech, which may or may not be inspired by the theme of the song. But, I mean, I guess it came out. What do you want?
You're supposed to ask me if I think that that's why it was called that.
Yeah, do you think that's why?
Probably.
Okay. Anyway, speaking of, I mentioned something along the lines of this song making my brother cry at school, but he reached out to me personally and he wanted to make it clear that these are his own words. I wasn't thinking of 9/11 when Idiotech hit me. My first time really listening to the song was on the morning of 9/11, and I saw the destruction and the people at school hurt by it. Just a little correction, lol.
But that doesn't make sense, because he was thinking of 9/11, because that's what was causing all the people to feel the way they were feeling.
But I said that he was crying.
Oh, well, he doesn't even respond to the crying.
Okay. No. Anyway, I also forgot to mention that Radiohead made an appearance on the show South Park. Did you see it?
Yeah, that was the Scott Tenenbaum Must Die episode.
Yeah.
It was good.
It's funny.
They're all good. And you were going to tell me about some pop-up museum thing?
Yeah, I forgot to tell you about the 14th Factory pop-up museum in downtown LA. There was a room that recreated the set from the mansion scene in 2001 Space Odyssey.
Did you go?
Yeah, I went with my brother.
Do you have
brother.
Pictures?
Yes, I have pictures.
Okay.
Don't even.
I wasn't doubting you, I just wanted to see
you
them.
You're trying me.
Yeah, I got pictures. I could see, like, the chick from the movie we saw, Baby Boy.
Okay.
She's like, yeah, I got pictures. Because nobody believes her.
Alright. Okay. So, what kind of music would you use if Clockwork Orange was made today?
I think Bjork would be really good. Because she can make that, like, you know, music that both feels romantic, but also kind of, like, abrasive.
Yeah.
How about you?
Wicked. The soundtrack to Wicked.
You would take the soundtrack of another movie?
Yeah.
And put it on this movie? Okay.
I don't give a fuck.
That would be a really interesting experiment. Tell us about the album background.
So, Love 2 is a different kind of vibe. It's still got that air flavor, but it's like they swapped the espresso for a decaf latte.
Decaf latte? Don't you think it's more like matcha?
Yeah, I do. I think it's like they swapped the matcha for the espresso.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, it's definitely more laid back, more introspective. Some might even say it's a bit underwhelming.
Well, everybody's got their own opinion.
Yeah.
I just noticed what's on the TV.
Yeah.
Okay. Unlike their previous albums, this one doesn't really have the cinematic strings or these kind of surprise guest collaborations. So it feels kind of just like low rent, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they phoned it in.
Well, I got it when it came out while I was in college, so I don't remember where it was from, but...
You got it, like, you bought it, or you got it, like, I get this?
I bought it. I got it in my possession. Yeah, I listened to it a lot when I was driving to school or driving to work.
Over and over?
Yeah. Wow. Some people do that. This is their fifth album, and it's the last album to date. Not to be confused with J-Lo's Love ? Album. I know that you're always playing that, so that's why I got it.
For you.
You're playing it for me?
Yeah. Okay. I read your journal.
Okay.
So they recorded it in the studio, Studio Atlas, which was built in 2007 in Belleville in northern Paris.
Yeah. Mm. This studio, building this studio, combined their passion for music and architecture, and they got to really think about how the architecture influenced the sound.
And I think that's really cool because music is such a, like, it's audio. It's, like, two-dimensional that way. Mm-hmm. But then you have architecture, which is, like, tactical. You can touch it, like, three-dimensional. Right. And this let them combine both of those things.
Exactly.
Both of them were inspiring them in real time for this.
Yeah. Well, other artists that have recorded here include Christine and the Queens and Charlotte Gainsbourg.
And the title is a way to say that this is a kind of a prequel to previous work, and it's rebranding the emotion of love.
Yeah, Nicola Godin even said love is a way of saying how love.
Love?
Love too. Is a way of saying.
The album.
Yeah, how love can regenerate itself and how people have different love stories throughout their life and how someone can fall in love multiple times.
Yeah, and it's not just like with people.
Right? No, it's not in a relationship sense. You can fall in love.
It could be.
Yeah, but...
It could also be...
Yeah, falling in love with a film or a piece of music or a restaurant.
Or anything that inspires you.
Yeah.
After Air released Pocket Symphony, they went on tour for a couple of years and then were immediately ready to work on their next album.
And they wanted the music to be reminiscent of when they first got together and started making music in their youth. Like, I think the band name was Orange.
You recently reminisced about the music you made in your youth, right?
Yeah, I'd be doing that because I think it's part of my hoarding problem.
I don't know. Hoarding to me implies that you're keeping useless things that might actually, like, be bad for you. Mm. But in your case, you're keeping things that are nostalgic, and then you bring them back, and they continue to inspire you.
Yeah, we're going to talk about album artwork now.
Okay.
So the album cover was photographed by Luciana Val and Franco Musso. And the artwork throughout the album, Sleep Booklet, is done by Laurent Pignon.
How would you describe the album cover?
It's just two guys sitting on the beach in nice suits.
Well, it's the two guys from Air.
Yes. They're sitting on the beach on some rocks or something. It's a photo backdrop, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, it looks like it. It's like all soft focus.
And
then the font is of an Air is kind of that disco 70s, gold, like with gold and then like thin.
Yeah,
and Love Too.
And they're like black and white photos. I'm like, whatever.
But you were saying that you weren't sure if this was like trying to be ironic or not.
Yeah, it seems kind of humorous. Like it's a throwback to the old like disco vinyls and Simon Garfunkel, whatever.
So this song peaked at number 64 on the UK singles chart.
What song?
Do the Joy, their first song.
Oh, Do the Joy.
Oh, wait. Yeah, so it peaked at number 64 on the UK singles chart. What's your first impression?
Well, I love the title. It's a musical invitation to a party. And the music definitely delivers that classic Air groove.
Great, the hot take.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's got that funky, relaxed vibe. kind of like a Parisian cafe does, you know, where it's just relaxed and kind of quirky.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. I mean, if that cafe was filled with robots doing the electric slide. You know what I mean?
No, tell me.
Yeah, it's got that funky... I like the xylophone. But overall, it's like a nice hello from Air revisiting after a couple of years. It's exciting and refreshing. Something about it also sounds like mod sci-fi rock from the 60s.
But you've been watching a lot of 60s films, and the music is to die for.
To die.
So what is this song about?
I think it's pretty straightforward. It's a celebration of joy, letting go, and just enjoying the moment.
Are you about that moment life? Sometimes you are.
I guess.
Okay. What about production?
Well, the production of this track is stellar. Get it?
Yeah.
The song fades into some fuzzy guitar bass sounds, and there's drums by Joey Walker.
And the synths are very warm, and there's kind of sounds like a sonic hot tub.
Yeah.
I can picture that.
You can really hear those vintage Sinister Moogs with Signature robot. The robot speaking.
The robot. Damn robot, he's always...
Yeah.
Just when you least expect it.
And he's, yeah, it's like Air reminding us they're not afraid to get a little weird. And the xylophone really stands out.
Yeah. I don't know, it's like when you're it's like hearing your parents like, ooh, they're gonna get weird.
I don't know about that, but the spooky synth melody in the background was actually created with a vintage Costco keyboard that Nicolas Godin found in a flea market in Paris. I used to have one of those.
A Costco keyboard? You said Costco. I'm sure you did. We'll see. We saw a bunch of instruments at the Paris Flea Market.
Yeah.
They were so cool. If I had like the space and the time, it'd be so cool to collect just musical instruments.
For sure.
Okay.
Well, Yeah, same. But in terms of lyrics...
What's your favorite lyric?
Laughing on our ashes and holding our own lashes, slapping the, slapping all the species from all over the seas. It's so thought-provoking.
I feel like it's like... like just having the world falling apart all around you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Are you provoked in thought?
Yeah. Okay. The world is falling apart. Isn't it always, though?
Isn't it always?
It's been falling apart. Anyway. Tell me about the cultural impact this song had.
Well, it was featured in a commercial for a very cool car from the French brand Citroën and the DS3. Let's talk about a perfect match, because the car was kind of futuristic and spacey looking, and it was French. And
yeah.
And quirky.
For sure.
So.
Well, another critic said...
Good product placement.
Pitchfork called it a shimmering, effortlessly cool opener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about shimmering, but...
it's all right.
Yeah. When did Air perform this?
They performed this from 2009 to 2010, and I saw them do it live at the Fox Theater in Oakland.
And they also performed it at KCRW. Did you, how was that concert?
It was fun. I went with my cousin and her boyfriend at the time. What do you want?
What do listeners have to say?
Many listeners call it the perfect driving song and praise its chill but funky vibe. What cocktail would you put with this
song? Wait, but you drove to... You thought it was a perfect driving album, so you heard the song driving a lot.
I did.
Interesting. So you're not the only person.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people felt like it was good for driving.
Yeah.
We decided a good cocktail for the song would be a French 75, which is...
a classic and bubbly cocktail with gin, champagne, lemon juice, and sugar. Its effervescence matches the track's energy.
Cool. All right, let's move on to track two, Love. All right, let's talk about track two, Love. What does it feel like to you?
It's like a minimalist disco track, a little groove, a little melody. Yeah, it's got that chill wave vibe, you know? But with a touch of air signature sophistication. I like those simple synth arpeggios to create a hypnotic atmosphere.
You like that?
Mm-hmm.
You do that in your music?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we hear a little bit of a song that does that?
What?
Right now.
I don't know.
Okay. Thanks. See how talented he is? Okay. Well, this reminds me of Grace Jones's version of Vie en Rose. Do you agree?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. It's also the shortest song on the album by a hair.
Yeah, it's like you're at an exotic resort and taking LSD. Yum. It's quite refreshing, like a Aperol Spritz or a French 75 in the sunshine on the beach. In your best Chanel or Dior outfit.
That's your life?
I'm about that life.
All right, what do you think the meaning is?
I think it's a pure expression of love in all its forms. Romantic love, platonic love, universal love, it's all there. All is full of love. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. And it's cool that when anybody says all is full of love, like the first place your head goes is Queen Bee.
Yeah, okay. Nice percussive beat with piano. And they...
So like you're telling on someone.
Yeah, they bring... they bring back the vocoders.
It also has some nice bass. And it's very...
It's very Moon Safari.
Very Moon Safari. Yeah. What about the lyrics?
It just repeats love throughout the song. What do you make of this?
Love, 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 love. Not exactly Bob Dylan. But hey, sometimes you just gotta keep it simple.
It's messed up. But yeah. I like that. I like keeping it simple. You know what I mean?
I think most people in your life would agree with that.
Damn, girl.
What do the critics have to say?
They describe it as a hypnotic groove that gently pulls you into its orbit.
What else?
Well, they collaborated with the RJDJ iOS app, which allowed people to make their own version of the song. I love that app.
I remember that app.
Yeah.
Barely.
It was fun. They had a lot of sound scenes.
I was DJing in real life back then, so...
Okay, all right. Anyway.
No, so, like, you just have that much, so much attention to put into stuff.
Yeah. All right.
When something that's usually a toy is your work, then...
Yeah.
It loses its joy as a toy.
For sure.
Okay.
There's a down-tempo version remix by CFCF, and it emphasizes the track's hypnotic qualities.
And they also performed this live with the Lille de France National Orchestra, which adds an emotional and much needed, I would say, cinematic layer to this album.
Yeah. If I had a cocktail right now for this song...
Tell me, mama.
It would be Love Potion Number 9. And it's a sweet and fruity cocktail with vodka, raspberry liqueur, cranberry juice, and lemon-lime soda.
That sounds like a jungle party.
You better believe it. Now, we got the next track.
The next track is track 3, So Light and Her Footfall. Why you got a picture of Rasputia here?
That's your mom. Why are you so mean?
Oh, man. No, for real. Why is there a big picture of her in her notes?
Because I just feel like... I want to see... What, do you think if she was in that music video we saw, she would have made it good? Yeah.
Totally. If it just would have been her doing anything, I don't care. Like dishes, getting groceries. To that music.
Who is Rasputia for the people at home?
Rasputia is Eddie Murphy in what movie?
Norbit.
Norbit. Yeah. Okay. I feel like I'm her spirit animal right now. Because I could tear up that...
Cheesecake?
Yeah. All right, what's your first impression of this song?
It's like a slow motion waltz in zero gravity, and it makes me want to be just high and stare at the sky.
So just another Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very sexy and very groovy and very chill.
Like you.
Thanks. I like the piano, and I'm always... I've got a soft spot for a distorted synth.
You do.
I do.
And Nicola Godin said it's the first track they recorded in their studio. So I guess this really set the whole tone for everything. It's the momentum, you know.
It's the moment.
It's the moment. Well, to tell you about some production, it's got electric guitar, vibraphones, pianos, synths, and drums. And Nicola Godin said, on So Light, you can hear all kinds of instruments, synths, piano, drums, percussions, acoustics, and electric guitars, bass, voice. We wanted to include everything. I love that track. Huh?
You dare.
Oh! Okay. Anyway. To tell you about the lyrics...
That sound you made.
It just seems to be about a mysterious woman who is in danger.
You in danger, girl.
Thank you. I lit.
What's the lyric, favorite lyric?
She moves like a ghost and I lost her in the mist of dawn. She's already gone. Wow. Happy Mother's Day.
Maybe the title was inspired by Oscar Wilde's The Canterbury Ghost, where he says, "So light was her footfall, and so deep his melancholy, that he was not aware of her presence until she spoke to him."
You wrote that?
No, that's Oscar Wilde. What do you think it means?
I don't know. It means... It's about being completely infatuated with someone to the point where they seem almost otherworldly.
All right, does this song have a music video?
Yeah, it does, actually. The music video for So Light Is Her Footfall was directed by Edouard Celia, who has done videos for Massive Attack, Metronomy, and made a film called Tropic in 2022. And the video stars model actress Audrey Marnay, who was also in Air's video for How Does It Make You Feel?
I've never seen the video for this, so do you want to watch it?
We just watched it.
Oh, okay. What did you think? It was your first time, right?
You want to watch it again?
No.
It
was your first time watching it, though, would you think?
Yeah, it was our first time watching it, and I thought it was, like, you know, trying to be, like, surreal, David Lynch-y, black and white, old film. That wasn't bad, but
yeah.
I'm not going to write my mom about it.
What's the last film you wrote your mom about?
The Substance.
All right. Did you ever see them perform this?
Yeah, I saw them perform this in Oakland in 2010. And I also saw it in the TV show Gossip Girl when Jenny and Damien make out in their bed.
That Jenny.
She's so full of trouble, I tell you what.
There's always a moment a father can't let himself fear. The day his little Jay decides to lose her big V.
Did you ever think you were going to be watching Gossip Girl?
No, but I looked her, that actress up.
Yeah.
She's like a singer in a band.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What is she thinking? No. All right. Gossip Girl.
Girl.
XOXO. Gossip Girl.
Doesn't she say something before that?
God, love me. Excellent. Gossip Girl. All right.
I feel like that needs to be our next dance track.
Well, there's alternate versions of this song. There's remixes. It's been remixed 4 times.
By who?
Metronomy.
Mm-hmm.
Breakbot.
Mm.
Tom Size.
Mm-hmm.
And Space G. These are all my friends. Can I bring them over for dinner?
For cocktails, for So Light Is Her Footfall, we figured a French martini would be a good pairing.
Sounds good. I can use one right now.
You want a drink?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So, French martini.
It's
a vibe.
It's a vibe. What's in it?
I already said.
Mm.
So we're going to talk about track 4, Be a Bee now.
It's like Air decided to channel their inner krautrock band.
Hey, did I say So Light Is Her Footfall was the second single off the album?
I don't remember, but no, you did.
That's why I had a music video and remixes. But yeah, B&B. It's like Air decided to channel their inner krautrock fan.
I just said that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got that motoric beat.
Yeah.
And repetitive synths. Uh-huh. So tell me what a motoric beat is.
Well, it's like the beat is in 4-4 time and there's a moderate tempo. And the pattern is repeated in each bar throughout the song. It's like a splash or a clash cymbal is often hit at the beginning bar of a verse or a chorus.
And it's used by and heavily associated with krautrock bands. And the term motoric was coined by music journalists. What do you think of bees?
Bees?
Yeah, bees.
They're my second phobia right after small talk.
You really don't like bees.
Yeah.
I love bees.
Okay.
They've never stung me, like now or as a child. And I just think they're nice to be around. They make me feel like I'm alive.
Okay, well, wait till you get stung by one and change your mind.
Jeez. Dream killer.
Okay, well, this is actually a song Air used to perform while on tour for Moon Safari.
Hmm.
And it's a high energy song and more rock oriented than Air's usual chill songs.
And it sounds like something from 60s English spy shows, like The Avengers. Did you watch The Avengers?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
The black and white old Avengers?
You better believe it.
With Diana Rigg?
All of them.
All right. In fact, there's an old movie, an old bee movie, called Invasion of the Bee Girls, which we just saw a few days ago.
Yeah.
That this song would be perfect for.
Perfect.
What did you think about the Bee Girls?
The Bee Girls. I thought it was good. I saw it. I remember seeing it once. Like 10 years ago. And it was on this channel that showed nothing but bee movies. So.
Okay.
It was great.
I just thought it was not believable that these women are walking around with these huge sunglasses, like in the middle of the night or in the middle of the grocery store. And nobody, they're like seducing, picking people up at a bar wearing huge sunglasses. And nobody questions it.
Welcome to the city. I don't know.
Tell me about production.
Well, it's got some electric guitar, drums, bass, organ, synths, the usual. I like the ending, though.
Yeah, it's like a B string to the brain.
If you say so.
I say so.
But to tell you about the lyrics is just to say I think it's just a cute song about being free, letting loose, and loving bees. Personally, though, I don't like bees, nor do I want to be one. Thank you very much.
And my favorite lyric is, so many things are bothering me, but you know bees are free. So many things I refuse to be. I'd like to be a bee.
Taylor Swift could never.
I think it's about finding your place in the world and contributing to something bigger than just yourself. Kind of like a bee in a hive. It's part of a community.
Yeah. Find your hive. What? Oh, no.
Don't make me laugh. I have a broken rib.
Well, trivia alert. This song was inspired by the work of Maurice Maeterlinck, a Belgian playwright who wrote a play called The Life of the Bee. Yeah, and this distorted guitar sound in the song was created using a vintage fuzz pedal that Jean-Benoit Dunkel borrowed from his friend Serge Pizzarno of the band Kasabian. Alright. We're gonna do some critic reviews. One critic said a hypnotic groove that
unfortunately... What are you doing in here? Are you laughing because I was coughing?
No.
Why were you laughing?
Because that man getting murdered in the back room.
In the back room?
Yeah.
Where are we?
I was just telling you that a critic said that the hypnotic groove unfortunately outstays its welcome.
That's what you were telling me? Okay.
Who wouldn't want a hypnotic groove to outstay its welcome? Like, I'd be like, stay as long as you want.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm glad you told me about that.
Hey. That's not funny. I got a joke.
So. Oh, okay.
This guy is sitting at the kitchen table when his partner comes in wearing a white suit covered in wax and honey and smelling from the bee smoker. And he says to himself, yeah, she's a keeper. You get it?
I do. I really do.
If you don't get that, I'm sorry. What do you call a bee that can't make up its mind?
A maybe. Get it?
Maybe baby.
Did you see this live?
Yeah, and I liked it.
Yeah.
The first time they performed this song, though, was in 1998 at the ARO Space in Seattle.
It was a very cool space.
I wish I could have gone. Was it like a nightclub?
It was kind of like that place where we saw that drag fashion show.
Oh.
It was like that kind of space.
Interesting.
But bigger.
Well, what have listeners said?
I feel like half the people really like it and half the people find it repetitive and kind of boring.
I don't. So, if I need a drink, though, for this song, it's going to be the bee's knees. It's just a classic Prohibition era cocktail with gin, lemon juice, and honey syrup. That's all you need.
What are we drinking right now?
Gin.
It's a dirty gin martini.
Yeah. Very dirty, because it's got some, like, stuff floating in it. I don't know what this is.
It's just the little bits of olive.
Some dirt.
I work so hard to put cocktails on the table.
We got a song now called Missing the Light of Day.
Oh, yeah.
Did it perform in the charts?
Nada.
Okay.
It didn't.
Well, what's your first impression then?
It's kind of got that classic air, sort of bittersweet feeling that's very beautiful, but also a touch of kind of wistfulness or sadness.
Well, I thought it's the most electronic song on the album, and it sounds a bit Kraftwerk-y.
Chocolate and peanut butter can work together.
You put my chocolate in my peanut butter.
I put your chocolate in your peanut butter. So I'm just a bully. Walking around. Fucking up your food.
Yes.
Now that I think of it, those ads were so suggestive in the 70s. Like, there's always the guy walking with the bar of chocolate and then the woman who's holding the peanut butter. And he would put his chocolate bar in her gooey peanut butter.
Yeah. Well, who goes out with peanut butter?
I did. I told you I used to tape a jar of peanut butter to my little BMX bike and ride around the neighborhood.
What the fuck?
And I had a spoon in it. Because you get hungry when you're riding around all day.
I don't know how we got here. But, yeah. I'm going to tell you about some production. The minor chords and the haunting vocal harmonies create a sense of longing.
I feel like a lot of your music's like that.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, those vocals, mama. So haunting and ethereal. It's like a ghost whispering in your ear.
Do you feel like a ghost has ever whispered in your ear?
If they have, I can't hear them because they're chainsaw noises at night.
That's what you hear is chainsaw noises?
Your chainsaw noises.
I think you're just hearing things.
Okay.
Speaking of hearing things, it's got vocoders galore. And
Rhodes pianos.
And
I love those arpeggiating synths. Mm.
Love me some arpeggiating synth.
Yeah, and so they got lyrics
that on should this. Be a cocktail. Arpeggiating synth, fine.
They got lyrics on this song. And
they got lyrics.
They deal with surrounding yourself with toxic people and partying all the time, just living shallow and promiscuously. I don't know about that life, do you? Girl, you.
What do you mean? I saved you from that life.
You did.
There's a lot of negativity in the lyrics. What's your favorite one?
Is mixing bad people, arguing with friends, getting so much stress. It just feels so relatable. I feel like I'm there, you know?
You live that thug life?
I do.
I think it's about for longing for someone or something that's gone. It's like feeling lost and alone.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, a critic said this is a poignant and beautifully crafted ballad.
That's what I said. Who needs critics?
I don't know.
What was the mood of the song inspired by?
I think it was a period of time when Jean-Benoît Dunkel was feeling homesick while on tour in Japan.
He's talked about being homesick in a lot of interviews, like saying that's been an inspiration for him, which I guess makes sense because the songs are all like wistful and mm-hmm. kind of thoughtful and melancholy sometimes.
Yeah. Did you know they performed this song on KCRW?
Yeah, I listened to it while I was researching for this podcast.
What'd you think?
It was nice. They always have a nice sound when they play live.
Okay. Well, that's all it's one good. Listener said that this captures the feelings of Heartbreak perfectly.
You agree?
No.
Well, what song would you say captures the feeling of Heartbreak perfectly?
Toni Braxton's Break My Heart. You know that one. Don't lie. We've all played it on repeat.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
Okay.
It's okay. Well, if I was drinking a drink while listening to this song, it'd be a dark and stormy.
Talking about Toni Braxton.
A moody.
She's tempestuous, girl.
It's a moody and comforting cocktail with dark rum, ginger beer, and lime juice. The drink's melancholic name and warming spices suit the track's somber tone, I'd say. Yeah.
You think some song's somber?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I just say have a beer.
All right. Speaking of having a cocktail, track 6, Tropical Disease. Tell me about it.
This is where things get really weird. It's like a 7-minute fever dream.
Yeah, it's definitely the most experimental track on the album, and it goes through all these different moods, and you can really hear them playing with different sounds here. We even said that it has kind of a, like, so it's their first kind of tropical, jungly, some would say reggaeton-y kind of.
Reggaeton? What are you talking about? Anyway. Yeah, it's definitely the most experimental track on the album.
And this is also the most cinematic song on the album, which a lot of people said the album needed much more of, because like part of Air's whole thing was associated with things feeling grand and cinematic, and this just felt small.
Yeah. Well, Nicola Gordon said this song was paying homage to Francois de Robay, who wrote a movie. He wrote many movie soundtracks using the recorder. Yeah, so this track evokes childhood, and then it evolves into a more sensual mood, Isaac Hayes oriented.
Wait, it's like sexy childhood?
I don't know.
Oh dear.
No, I think it's showing the evolution.
I see.
Because you start off as a child, it's nice and innocent, and then by the end, it's like sexy.
I get it.
You know? I know. One day you're a child, and the next you're just sexy. That's so awful.
That should be a children's book.
No. I'd get arrested immediately.
I didn't think you meant like, one day you're a child and the next day you're sexy. I thought it was like 30 years later you find out you're like,
yeah,
seeing yourself. The pedo interpretation is funnier.
We got some production for you. So it really showcases JB Dunkel's piano skills.
And the song has a saxophone, a Rhodes piano, drums, synths, a bowed vibraphone, and a recorder. And go get it.
Give me a minute.
Girl, here she comes.
In the room. This is what it. Thank you. All right. Yeah, it's got a kalimba. Which. All right. These are all new elements to Air's music. It reminds me of Michel Legrand's soundtracks for Il était une fois l'espace. Once Upon a Time,
what she said.
Space, a French animated series from 1982. Sorry.
I don't usually like the saxophone, but the way that Air uses it in their songs kind of makes it all right.
Yeah. Oh.
You're eating the olive like a piece of corn?
Wow. Yeah, I'm not sure if this is a real saxophone because they don't credit whoever's playing it, so whatever.
What if one of them is playing it?
I don't care.
And the solo at the end is played on a Korg MS-20. You've played on Korgs.
Have I? I don't know.
I thought you said you had.
I don't remember.
Okay, you're not being cross-examined. What about the lyrics?
I think it was called Tropical Disease because it may have been influenced by Henry Miller's novel, The Tropic of Cancer. It's set in Paris and it deals with sexual exploits.
Yeah.
What she said.
What she said. Does this have a music video?
Wait, what do you think about the lyrics? Women, no, woman, make me feel warm inside. What do you think about that?
Sounds like a Two Live Crew song.
Woman.
I'm not sure how to interpret that. Maybe it's about the, like, nature of love, or maybe it's about something darker and more sinister. What do you know?
Yeah. I know that a critic said this is a sprawling, ambitious epic that sometimes loses its way.
Swelling?
A sprawling, ambitious epic that loses its way, but it's like,
who's he to say the path that the song should take?
I said my brother thinks Air's music sounds like skeletons skipping through the daisies.
Which sounds like a Grateful Dead album artwork.
Yeah. Maybe.
So what do you think he meant by that?
Like the moods are contrasting.
You can't handle it.
You got the scary with the dreamy and beautiful and the innocent, and you got the dark and the... And you can't handle it. I don't know what to do. They performed this in Oakland in 2010.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it.
Who'd you go with?
My cousin, Nicole, and her boyfriend at the time. And we had Muddy Buddies.
What are Muddy Buddies?
Those are little kids you find playing in the mud, and then you just snatch them up, and you're like, you're going to a concert with us.
That sounds trafficky.
Yeah.
What are Muddy Buddies?
It's like Chex Mix.
Okay.
And chocolate.
Okay.
And it had edibles. No, THC.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah. I'll tell her to make some.
Yeah. Next time there's a karaoke at the Parkside.
Yeah.
She should bring them over.
Yeah, and share them with everyone.
No, just us.
Yeah.
And then we'll get our drinks.
Yeah.
It's on, Nicole.
You've been called out. Step up to the challenge. What else do you want to know? I was saying the saxophone solo in the song was improvised by a session musician. I never played with them before.
I think that's cool. We were talking about how Stanley Kubrick kind of allowed ideas from the people around him, even like somebody who wasn't involved in the shoot, just, you know, like a security guard. he would get their perspective and incorporate it into the film.
I'm having deja vu right now.
So it's cool that somebody that had never played with them before ended up getting, like, a solo on this song.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
No, yeah, for sure. And they performed this live in June of 2010.
Where?
At the, in Paris, with the Île-de-France National Orchestra. And it takes the song to a whole nother level. I wish the whole album was like this, and I hope they release official recordings of the show, and they should play with orchestras all the time.
Okay. Should I call Child Protective Services? I don't know why I said that. You can take that out.
What the hell?
I could not find any, like, covers or other versions of this song. In fact, most of the songs was tough to find.
Yeah.
But we were able to find a cocktail for the song.
Yeah, Jungle Bird. It's a complex tropical cocktail with dark rum, Campari, pineapple, juice, lime juice, and simple syrup.
Mm. Sounds like a vacation.
I tell you what.
We were talking about how this is like their first kind of tropical album.
Yeah.
Jungle.
Yeah. You know?
Okay.
It's got some bird noises and love, too. Did I say that?
Yeah. And even if you didn't, it's beautiful enough to say it twice. So that brings us to the end of our podcast.
Yeah.
That's song number 6. This episode had it all.
Bees.
Cocktails.
Resolved family beef.
Gossip Girl.
Grace Jones.
J-Lo.
Lackluster chart performance.
Love. Love.
Love.
Missing cinematic strings.
Promiscuity.
Rasputia.
South Park.
Whoopi Goldberg.
And xylophones.
Yeah. So next week we will do songs 7 through
12, and we'll finish this album and we'll finish air so you don't have to listen to them again.
Or us talking about them.
Yeah.
You can keep listening to them.
Unless we want to talk about their B-sides.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. You're missing your line.
Sleep tight. And that's it, bitches.
Say goodnight, Gladys.
No. No! Leave me alone!